Heavenly Father, we want to appreciate you tonight for your faithfulness unto us in the land of the living. We are grateful unto you, Lord Jesus, for the privilege you've given unto us to be in church again. Lord, we are also grateful unto you, Lord Jesus, for giving us the opportunity to lift our voice unto you in praises and worship. We say be thou exalted in Jesus' name. Lord, no doubt so many people would like to have this kind of an opportunity, Lord, but they are out there not even knowing what they are doing. It's not because we are better than them. It's your grace and your grace alone that has made a difference in our lives. Thank you for this privilege. Thank you for everything that has taken place, Lord, since we've started here this evening. We ask that you accept the offerings of our lips in the name of Jesus Christ. The offerings of our pocket, Lord, also may be acceptable unto you. Tonight we want to ask, if there be anything that wants to stand between us and you tonight, anything that the enemy wants to stand on, we ask, Lord Jesus, that your blood that speaks better than the blood of Abel, may you speak pardon on our behalf. Forgive us our iniquities, forgive us our transgressions, forgive us our mistakes in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, because you've done it. Your children that might still be on their way, Lord Jesus, to this place, may you hasten their steps. Those who are listening, Lord Jesus, via, Lord, the internet, may you bless them also. May the same person that is with us be with them in the name of Jesus Christ. We ask that every need that is represented here tonight, that you meet with them. Grant it, Heavenly Father. We ask these things, Lord, with faith and thanksgiving in Jesus Christ's name we have prayed. God bless you all. You are welcome to church tonight in Jesus' name. How many of us are happy to be in church tonight? Amen. God bless you. I believe we've all had a wonderful day. Without taking much of our time, let's just turn our Bibles to the book of 1 John chapter 5. We'll just share a little thought from here tonight as the Lord will help us and as time will permit us. 1 John chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 4. I read, it says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." Amen. May Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. God bless you. Be seated. That is a song I would have loved us to sing, but I don't know how many of us know that song. It's a short chorus. It says that, I'm trying to remember it again now. Okay, it says, this is the victory that we have got in Jesus' name, and it says that we shall overcome. But I would like to say we have overcome. It says, surely we have overcome. Surely we are overcome because this is the victory that we have in Jesus' name. Or we have got victory in Jesus' name. Amen. And if I remember, maybe I will have written it down so that we could sing it together. It goes like this. This is the victory. Victory in Jesus' name. We have overcome. Oh, see the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus' name. We have overcome. Surely we have overcome. Surely we have overcome. Surely we have overcome. Victory in Jesus' name. Don't worry, some other time we are going to sing it. You know, as Christians, there is always something for us to overcome. As long as we are on this side of eternity, there will always be something to overcome. You see, a crisis-free life for me doesn't exist. Are we following? It's more like a fraud. If somebody tells you that, oh, I don't have any problem whatsoever. Of course, as a Christian, we can say we don't have problems because we know somebody is taking care of our problems. But one thing is, there is always something to overcome. Are we following, friends? And what the world calls victory is different from what God calls victory. Amen. The perspective of God generally is different from the perspective of the world. And because of that, Christians always have the perspective of God. The way God sees things is the way we also see things. Are we following? Now, when we look at the scripture that we read, it says, for whatsoever is born of God does what? Overcomes the world. Amen. Amen. Whatsoever. There is no, it didn't put any limitation to it. Are you following? There is no restriction to it. He said, whatsoever is what? Born of God, over automatically is what? Overcomes the world. Now, look at it. He said, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And Brother Bram preached a sermon which says, he said, faith is our victory. Now, look at it. He said, is what? Our own victory. It belongs to us. It's not for everybody. For everybody, faith is not a victory. Because they don't even have the faith that we are talking about. But for the children of God, faith is what? Our victory. Now, you realize that John the Beloved was actually addressing this letter to a particular group of people. A select few. Somewhere he called them beloved. Somewhere he called them the elect lady. Are we following? So he's still talking to a particular set of people. And these people have been born of God. Are we following, friends? When you look at the previous chapter, I think that's John, 1 John 4:4. He was saying, he said, how did he put it now? He said, let me read it. The beginning is what I'm trying to, let me start from verse 3. Actually, if you want to start from that verse 3 of John 4:4. All right. He said, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. Are we following? And he says, and this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now is already in the world. Now, he now made a direct statement. 1 John 4:4, yes. Now, he made a what? Direct statement, which is still targeted at what? This particular set of people, making them to understand who they really are. And what did he say? He said, ye are of God, little children. Are you following? He's trying to make us to understand who we are and to whom we belong. And that understanding in itself, which is a revelation, that when each and every one of us gets it, is actually a victory over the world. Not a victory. It's actually the victory over the world. He said, ye are of what? God. You are not Nigerians. Are we following? You don't even belong to your parents. You only came to the world by the channel of your parents. You are not Nigerians. Are we following? Wherever you are listening from, you are not from that country. That country did not produce you. You are not Igbos. Neither are you Yorubas or Hausas or Efik or Ibibio or whatever you might call it. Because why? You are of God. Are you following, friends? That is why we don't think like the place where we were born. The only place where you are born that you can think like is when you are born from above. He said what? Ye are of God, little children, and have what? And have overcome them. Why?
Because greater is he that is in us than he that is in what? That is in the world. And the Bible, this John the Beloved, it made us to understand who the world is and where the world is. That is why it would be good for us to actually do a detailed study individually of this book of John. Because it says a lot. It's a whole lot. Are we following? And it made us understand that no matter what the world might want to throw at us, automatically by the virtue of your birth, you are an overcomer. Amen. Listen. By the what? By the virtue of your birth. It's not that you are going to overcome. It's not tomorrow. You are already an you have overcome them already. Are we following, friends? Now, you will realize that, you know, they used to say that ideas rule the world. You see, but it depends on the kind of idea that is actually in your mind. Your idea should be the idea of God. Anything that is contrary to that is of the devil. Now, in the beginning, you know, when God created everything, everything was running perfectly. And the Bible talked about Lucifer. He said it was the anointed cherub that covered it. Amen. And everything was well with him until iniquity was found in his heart. Are you following? And what was that iniquity? He desired to have a throne above God's throne, and also desired that the stars of God will worship him like they worship God. And the stars of God in this case is you and I, the children of God. He wants to take the worship that belongs to God and take it for himself. Are you following, friends? And thereafter, what happened? With his tail, he was able to take 2/3 of the angels with him. And the Bible said that God cast them, both himself and the fallen angels, God cast them into the hand. And he said the battles of angels now became what? The battles of men. But there's something very interesting. In the book of Genesis chapter 1, when God was creating man, one of the things that he told man, let's turn to Genesis chapter 1. Sorry, I have to take us back like this. Genesis 1, just to lay a little foundation for what we want to say. You realize that God, people that, you know, I've heard somebody talk to one day, I think when we were in school, he was preaching about what happened in Genesis 3, about how the serpent came, deceived Eve, and he said God was caught unawares and God had to change plans. And I said, this person doesn't know the kind of God that is serving. Like I used to say, I can't serve a God that changed plans. A God that can be surprised. That's why I keep saying, you can't surprise God. Because you can't surprise him, so also you can't disappoint him. You may surprise your father. You may disappoint your parents. Children most times disappoint their parents. You may disappoint pastor. You may surprise pastor. You may catch them unawares. But not God. That thing that you are doing, he knew you are going to do it. That is why when God speaks, just hold it like that. It's going to be exactly as he has said it. Either good or bad. That's why people say, oh, this one, it won't happen. Ah, because I know what I'm doing. Ah, when that time comes, I know. God, Jesus told Peter. He said, Peter. You know, Jesus told them, he said, all of you tonight. He said, all men will betray me. So all men will forsake me. Tonight. Peter said, hey, Master. He said, even if all men leaves you, me, Peter, lie, I will not leave you. And he was serious. He bought a sword to actually show to everybody, to prove that he meant what he was saying. Peter was determined. And he was serious. He had good intentions. Left to him, he would do it. But let me tell you something. Beyond human determination, beyond human ability, there is a power. And that power is the power of the word, that when the time comes for its fulfillment, everything will be subject to it. You know, it was only Peter that Jesus spoke to and said, after even that, said, tonight, before the cock crow, you will deny me thrice. So you're not just going to forsake. You will deny me 3 times. Peter said, no, it's not possible. Let's fear God, though. All he could do with his sword was just to cut off the hair of a servant. And the same, it was an effort in futility, because what happened? Jesus took the same ear, put it back, bam. So his effort was in vain. That alone demoralized him. Peter ran away. Immediately he left Jesus and began to follow from afar. As the drama began to unfold, you know, Brother said somewhere, the stage is set and all the actors are acting their parts. We are all here to act our parts. In this great drama of God, God is the writer of the script. And he has given each of us our roles. We are actually acting out a script that God had written. So nothing will surprise him. He's the one. He's the director of the movie. He's the director. He's the writer of the script. He's the everything. Everything. When your own part in that drama ends, you leave the stage. That is why you can't leave the stage too early. And you won't leave too late. He knows the time your own drama is going to end. If at the stage of it was as if, oh, he's about to die. He will die. It's finished for him. If his part has not ended, he will show up again. If he doesn't show up in part 2, he'll show up in part 7. He will show up again. That is why you can't die before your time. Those of you that are still afraid of witches, which kill some, is because your part has ended. Hello? Your part has what? If that part has not ended, don't worry, relax. Nothing will take you out of here. I said nothing will what? After all, we see there are people that are about 90 something years old and they are sick and they will recover again. They will sick and they will recover again. Say, won't this person just go? The person, it's not because the person refused to go. His part is still there. You know, some things happen sometimes that will shock us. What are we saying? We're talking about Peter, right? As the drama began to unfold, he was feeling cold now. He wanted to get some warmth. I said, God bless you. Please, can I shift? You know, Christians are decent people. They are not rude people. Decent people. Courteous people. They have worked with Jesus so much, they have been refined. And they will know you by your language. You think your neighbors, they don't know you. When your phone rings and they say shalom, they hear you say, this one, they always say shalom, shalom. We eat shalom. You go to an odd place, you begin to say shalom. They ask you to come and do presentation, you say, praise God. They say, oh, you know, they say, ha, ha, ha. Okay, I'm not in church. Sir, please, so God bless you. And I say, you are one of them. He said, me, Peter, God forbid. Me, I'm like all of my jet. And now came, he said, even your word betrays you. A maid came. He said, surely you are that man's servant. And he began to swear. He began to curse. Immediately after he did that, decided Jesus looked back. Himself and Jesus, both of them, their eyes. 2-on-2. Because why? Jesus has said it. And his word will not return unto him void, but it shall accomplish the purpose for which I've been sent. Anything that God has said concerning you, it can never return unto me void. So God is the owner of this script. And is running what? Perfectly. It's running perfectly. So let's go back to Genesis. Genesis 1. Quickly. So God cannot be taken unawares. So before anything happens, God has already seen ahead. Let's start reading from verse 26. He has seen it ahead. He has made provision for it. Before you run into a crisis, a provision has already been made for it. Amen. A provision has been what? Made for it. Genesis 1:26. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Next verse. And God blessed them and said unto them, be what? And what? This is God speaking. It's an order. And you must fulfill it. And do what? And replenish the earth and subdue it. To subdue means to bring under control. To subdue means to have mastery over. To what? Subdue. Before now, there was no need to subdue. Are we following? There was nothing to subdue, but God knew there would be something to subdue. So he has already, see, all the grand rules, God has already set it in Genesis. So he said what? Subdue and have dominion over what? The fish, the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over everything that liveth upon the earth. So there will also be something what? To subdue. Are you still with us? Alright. So after man fell, problems started. Are we following? Different form of problem. Any form of problem you can think of. There is nothing that will happen to you now that has not happened before. The Bible said there is nothing new under the heaven. Satan might want you to think that your own problem is unique. Nobody has ever had this kind of a problem before. Just, is your problem like that of Job? I think I asked this question in Ejade one time. I said, who is here that has suffered like Job? Raise your hand. Is there anybody here that has suffered like Job? I know there is nobody. Are you brave? You don't suffer like Job. And if Job survived all the things that the enemy flung at him, amen, you will survive everything. Amen. So, Brother Brown made us understand in this sermon, faith is our victory. He began to talk about what victory means to different people. What victory meant to the Russians, what it meant to the Germans. You see, when they seem to have had a level of success, amen, when they overran the other army and they encroached into their country and they took over their city and everything, how they brought their president or their premier or their prime minister, whatever it is called, and how they did the victory march and how they did the victory sign. But that was not victory. Because why? When Germany had his own, it was temporal. Russia came and overran them. You could see that victory could not be sustained. You talked about Napoleon. At a very young age, he conquered everything. Every what? Is it 31 or 33? He had conquered the world. There was nothing else to conquer again. He couldn't conquer himself. He was a prohibitionist. He eventually died of alcohol. Are we following, friends? So you now begin to see that what man terms as victory is actually very temporal. And these are the things that men give themselves over unto. Things that in which few years after, people have forgotten about it. You know, there was a place where Apostle Paul was talking about seeking for mastery. And talking about how men, when they seek for mastery, the sacrifice that they pay, what they put themselves through, how they deny themselves of things. I remember when we were going through that scripture, I was sharing with my family. I said, during the London Olympics in 2012, we used to fly there then. I was watching a documentary one day in my room of one of the athletes, a woman, who used 12 years to prepare to win gold once. 12 years. First Olympics she went to, she won bronze. Second Olympics she went to, she won silver. The third Olympics was to all happen in her country. But as this person has always winning gold, when she won bronze, this woman won gold. When she won silver, this woman won gold. And she felt that for me to defeat this woman, I must defeat this woman. What can I do? And she started making inquiries. And he went to meet a professor who analyzed the strength of the other woman and saw what the woman could do. I said, the only thing you can do to do that is to make your own body more flexible than the body of that other woman. He said, what are the things? And by the time you look at what she had to do, the sacrifice she had to pay, one, she had to be dipping herself in ice every morning. As early as 4 a.m., she has gone to the beach during winter when everywhere is cold. She will go right into it and dip herself into it, sometimes for about 30 minutes. Come up again, take it some fresh air, go back. These are the things that somebody, because she wants to win what? Go. I can't even remember the woman's name now. How she couldn't, there are food that she can't eat, level of sugar that has to be measured for her, just because what? She wants to win, go. And after she actually won the gold. And after she won the gold, she began to feel. He said, now she had done it. I'm happy. He said, but she said, so this is all. A preparation of 12 years. an extreme sacrifice of 4 years. Because why? This kind of victory, they are what? Very temporal. Very temporal. And yet, men give themselves to it. Just like people give, I believe in excellence, I believe in striving for excellence. People strive, give themselves so much to academic work, which is good. But I think of all the achievements in life, academic achievement is one of the most useless. You know the reason why? Nobody can use it. The person that you can't pass to your children, all the certificate, all the awards, you can't pass to nobody. Is useful to nobody. Just for you. And these are something that some people will want to, they will die on, say, from 1 degree to, they are always reading, always, till they read to a point, they don't believe that God exists anymore. And when you meet such people as students, and they begin to talk to you, if you are not filled with the Spirit, if the householder is not there, they can turn your thinking. And that's how some of you will come and start asking questions in church. It's because you've listened to some strange voices. That's why it's always very good for you to be born again before you go to school. Amen. Are you following, friends? So those are victories that are what? Very temporal. And you know, God is very particular about us. For those of us that are His children, that is why He gave us how we should live our lives. He said we are a chosen generation, a peculiar people, a holy nation, a royal priesthood. Don't forget, a peculiar people. There are things that make us peculiar. You know, gradually when you look at people today, especially our sisters, especially our young sisters, sometimes you look at it and say, people have bad. Gradually we are sliding back into worldliness. You know, I don't talk like this, but I have to talk about it. Gradually, from our mode of dressing to the cosmetics and the cream that people use, dark people are becoming fair. Fair people are becoming red. Oh yeah. Some of them are using different kind of makeup. And I'm the kind of people, the person, I don't notice those things easily. But if I can notice it, it means it's very bad. Somebody met me one day, said, how can these people leave your house? I didn't see that they were wearing makeup. I said, I didn't see makeup. I said, where is makeup? I said, I didn't see it. He said, bro, open your eyes, and makeup there. And I said, did you open your makeup? He said, are you small? I said, me, I didn't see it. So, but if I can see it, ordinarily would have been pointing to that, means there's a problem. There is a way we dress when we come to church. When you are going to school, you dress differently. When you are at work, you dress differently. You are not a Christian yet. Because why? You are ashamed of the gospel of Christ. A peculiar what? We heard it on Sunday. He said, when they shall ask you, why is it that you are not doing, the children will ask you, why are you not doing it this way? Why are we different? He said, because the Lord our God commanded us to be like that. End of story. They ask you, why are you not using earring? And he said, because our church. It's not our church. See, let me become a pastor. It's not our church. You know, one of my friends one time, a former colleague, he come and he said, Joseph, he said, your house is very boring. He said, I only talk. Turn on television, let us. I said, there's no television here now. Say, how can you have this kind of no television? Say, how are you enjoying life? I said, I'm enjoying life more than you think you enjoy life. Somebody asked the prophet one day, he said, how do you enjoy yourself? Say, let's go to dance. But I said, I don't go to dance. Let's go to this. How do you enjoy yourself? He said, come to church. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Come to church. A peculiar people. You know, gradually, our people have started going to the cinemas to watch cinema now. Oh, yeah. They have cinema. They go to cinema. When they are going on date, they go to cinemas, movie houses. Just because you want to be trendy. And the word of God spoke directly against such things. Gradually, you will see the thing that some of our sisters wear. When you see them, you'll be amazed. Sister. Uh-huh. But don't forget, we are what? A peculiar people. He said, whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. It will overcome those traditions. It will overcome fashion. But Abraham said, don't worry, we'll come there. pre-wedding shoot, we will come there, don't worry. Brother says some people's greatest ambition in life is to buy a new television. Is there a faith in our victory? Get a new job. The most annoying among them is get it. Americans have been very funny. It's not only Americans, everybody. Get when they buy a new phone, some of you, your idol is iPhone. iPhone. You need this victory. What did I say? You can argue between iPhone and Android from morning till night just because it's your idol. But when we begin to talk about the scriptures, you go mute. You begin to wonder, is this person deaf or dumb or both? Hey, hallelujah. You still love the Lord tonight? But we are what? A peculiar people. Don't let us forget that. We are a peculiar people. And faith is our own victory. And what is faith? But Abraham said faith is revelation. You know, we've talked about super sense before. Right? Remember when we talked about super sense? It's the sixth sense. It declares what the rest of the senses cannot declare. Amen? And what it declares is real. Is what? Is real. Is more real than what the senses of the body can declare. It can declare what is not there. And it can make what is there that you are seeing like this, it can make it non-existent. That is faith. That is why if you are sick in the body, don't acknowledge your sickness. Let faith look beyond the symptoms. You might be feeling the symptoms. It doesn't mean it is there. You know, some of these things that are easy to say when you are preaching. But when you confront it headlong, it could be a different ball game. We've been there. We have to go and also listen back to the sermon again. Listen to what the prophet said and begin to build your faith over and over again and begin to fight it. There is nothing you can overcome, friends. Satan will fling things at you. But let me tell you something. As long as that anchor holds, there is no storm you can't weather. Because why? We are actually created to weather every storm. We are masters of circumstances. Circumstances are not meant to master us. We are created to subdue. Are you following, friends? So faith is what? It's a revelation. And it's personal. What faith has declared unto me, what I've seen by faith, you might not see it. When Abraham said he has heard a voice, God has called him to leave his father's house, to leave his country and his kindred. Nobody has heard the voice. Say, which God? How can you explain it? But for you to know that what he heard was real, Abraham said that he has already seen by faith that city that has foundation, whose builder and maker is God. He began to look for it. Abraham became a wanderer. He couldn't settle in one place again. The Bible said they were living in tents. People that live in tents are people that have temporary dwellings. So that the next time they want to move, it's easy. They just pack everything and move. They were wandering from place to place, looking for what others can't see. But faith had declared it to them. And that was their victory. So no matter what comes along the line, in the course of seeking for that which they have seen, automatically that thing will be subdued. That's what Abraham said. Anybody that has this victory, we have a purpose to live for. Oh yeah. The reason why people don't have any purpose. Most Christians, most people that come to church don't have a purpose they're living for. We just wake up. They say, why did you go to school? Because my parents said I should go to school. Okay. They said after going to school, I should get a job. You got a job. They said after I got in the job, I should marry. I marry. And they said we should have children. I have children. I should send my children to school. That's all they are living. That's all. No other purpose. Every Christian, every believer must have a purpose that they are living for. Samson knew that he was raised for a purpose. it was revealed to him that he is here to destroy the Philistines. That was his purpose. He had that revelation, and that revelation gave him victory. So as far as Samson is concerned, he knew that this is what he was raised for. It doesn't matter the number of Philistines that come across. You know, there was a place where the Bible said, when he was growing up, he said the Spirit of the Lord used to move upon him in the valley of Elah. He said the Spirit of the Lord used to move him. So he was exercising himself already when the Spirit of the Lord began to move him. So by the time he began to grow, because he himself, by revelation, he has seen the purpose for which God has raised him. So it wasn't difficult for him when the time came. No matter how the Philistines came, no matter their number, no matter the anywhere they meet him, as far as he's concerned, I will bring these people down. Even when he's in the wrong. He was a strange man. He had become a mystic to the people. That's what Abraham said. Every Christian is a what? They are a mystic to the world. See, if your life is not a mystery to the people you are living with, people around you, people at work, you've not started though. They must look at you and say, why are you behaving like this? Not because what you are doing is bad. Your lifestyle must just amuse them. They say, which kind of human being is this? Because why? You are a peculiar person. The Bible says Samson one day, he went to chase a prostitute. We are not saying that chasing prostitute is wrong. He went to chase a prostitute. They say, Samson is there. He's there. The Bible said they did what? They locked the gate of the city and they are waiting till daybreak. Samson woke up early in the morning, probably in the midnight, and he got to the gate of the city. This gate is locked. What's wrong with these people? He didn't stress himself. He didn't even pray. Because why? He was living for, the purpose had already been revealed to him. Every opposition, like we said, it must be subdued. And his only thinking, his only way of subduing at that particular time, you know, if you want to disappear, I could have disappeared and reappeared. But as far as he's concerned, I need to show these people something. He went, check this gate, have you? Plus the pillar, plus the gate. Carried everything. Who will be the person that will follow that kind of a human being? You see somebody carrying the gate of a city with the pillar. Going up, is even when you are walking ordinarily up the hill, it's not easy. No talk of carrying load, and you are carrying gate and pillar. Because why? Faith is his victory. Listen, there is no opposition that is strong enough to defeat a man or a woman that is born again. It might look as if it's defeating you, it's because you allowed it thus far. Most times those things is because we allow them. We permit them. Thank you, sir. You permit them. The moment you say enough is enough. You know, recently I've started telling myself in prayer, I said, God, this one, enough of this one. Enough of this one. You must also do that. Enough of this one. Enough of this one. If there are habits in your life, don't tolerate it. Wake up and say, enough of this one. If there are weaknesses, say, enough of this one. The moment you say enough, enough will be enough. Because why? You are of God, little children. And I've what? And I've overcome them. So Samson was not permitting them. His own is every opposition that comes up, he must what? He must deal with it. David also knew by revelation that he was what? Abraham said, David, when you read the great word of David, Abraham said, David knew that God is with him and that God has what? God has blessed him. When you know that God is with you and God has blessed you, it will change your lifestyle. It doesn't matter even if you don't have money in your pocket. It doesn't matter if you have not eaten the whole day. You will not go about looking sad, looking morose. Like a preacher used to say when we were young, looking melancholy, solemn. They said, what's wrong with you? He said, it's the problem of this. You know this war, then there are too many. Let the rapture happen now. The only reason why you want rapture to happen is because of too many problems. You want to escape problem. Problem that God has raised you up to overcome. Let me tell you something. Character is not a gift. It's a victory. Until you have that victory, forget rapture. Because this nature of Christ must not just be built in us, it must be expressed. And it's in crisis. That is when you actually see your character. So these challenges are actually character molders. It's like someone that's praying for patience. Oh God, give me patience. Give me. How will God give you patience? How will you know you are not have patience? Your patience will be tested. Your God will give you troublesome neighbors. Sometimes God will announce and allow the devil to anoint some people to purposely want to frustrate you. What is God doing to build that character of patience must be reflected in your life. So be careful what you pray for. But whether you like it or not, this is you must have it. So the earlier you see, the earlier I've come to the conclusion. The earlier I submit quickly, the better. So everybody will be fine. God will be fine. I'll be fine. Others around me will be fine. So let's just go. Okay, no problem. It's fine. Let's go. Are you following, friends? So David knew that God is with him, and he has been blessed by God. So when the bear came for him, for David it's not a problem. He didn't see it as a big obstacle that he can't overcome. He said, how can a bear come and take what has been put in my care? He was someone who said, thank God for sparing my life today. A bear came and took one of the lamb. I ran away quickly. That would be a testimony here, right? But not for David, friends. Because it was a man that it has been revealed to him. That he was what? That God is with him and that he has been blessed. And that was his victory. The revelation of who you are and who God has made you and the purpose for which he has raised you up is your victory over every circumstance. I tell you, that's the truth. The moment you realize that I'm a child of God, God does not give back to failures. Amen. Hello? Amen. God does not give back to who? Failure. Because you try something once and you fail doesn't mean you are a failure. That's another thing. You try the second time and it doesn't mean you are a failure. Isaac tried many times. He kept digging the well. He dug the cover. He dug the cover. He dug again at the cover. He didn't give up. Yeah. Even some of us will back out and come home. And come at me, Pastor. I said, Pastor, that business is not profit. It's not a good business. Say what happened? Wala tikpoju. All this agbero, they won't allow yourself. Those people are agberos. You know, Pastor, you know what happened? That well that we've been digging for the past 6 months, we finally struck water. Immediately we struck water, these people came. Maybe it's not the will of God for me to do it. And this was something you prayed before you started. You know, maybe it's not the will of God for me to do it. Who told you it's not the will of God? Go back there. What did I say? Go back there. Go and dig again. Dig again and again. Be like Isaac. Dig again and again till the Lord will create room for you and the rest of the people. After everybody still came back and said, Isaac, we offended you. Pray for us. What if he has stopped digging? Christians, don't give up. Are you following, friends? So David knew the kind of person that he is. Till a lion came. Bear, lion, and finally Goliath. Look at what Goliath said. You listen that man is actually walking by revelation. I mean David. How was Saul? You read that Saul did not have the kind of revelation that David had. We must have the right revelation concerning ourselves and the right revelation concerning our brethren. The right revelation concerning your husband or your wife, let me say your spouse and your children. When you know as a husband that you are married to a daughter of God, you are married to a princess of Zion, you will mistreat that woman. Amen. Did I hear amen? Amen? When you know as a sister that you are married to a son of God, a prince of Zion, you will mistreat that brother. When you don't have that understanding, you will maltreat each other. You will abuse him. And he himself will beat you. Because why? That faith that gives victory over domestic violence, you don't have it. That is strong, right? Silence in court. I think we need to dig this a little deeper. See, friends, The problem with us most time in our homes is because we lack revelation of who we are. You don't know who you are yourself, and that is why you don't know who your spouse is. You abuse your wife. Wife to abuse husband. You beat yourselves. You know, there was one time I was preaching somewhere. I said, I don't think that's happening here. Somebody came to me and said, don't ever say that again. I said, when you have to preach, preach. That is happening here or not happening there, leave it. So I said, now I'll be preaching it. Whether I think it's happening or not happening, I leave that to God. Somebody told me when they said, he said, brother, why are you talking like this? He said, just preach it and leave it. How can you say that it's not happening? Are you the pastor or do you know everybody in church? I say, I'm sorry. So now that we are preaching, we'll preach it. So when you have the right understanding of who your spouse is, you will treat them better. Mm-hmm. You know, some people, they don't need to beat their wife. Some people, they don't need to beat their wife. But what they do without beating is worse than beating. You know, I used to wonder, how can, before you got married to that person, it was the love of your life. You can't sleep without hearing from that person in a day. Some people got married before pre-GSM, pre-social media. So how did you do it those days when you are cutting? You were married before pre-GSM. And pre-GSM, you cutted before GSM. How many weeks? How many days? Imagine. Some of us, during our own time, it was midnight call. But this same person you did extra cool with, a time is not coming, it's not extra hot, super hot. What's the problem? You lack revelation. Some sisters, their tongue is so caustic. It has always been caustic before they marry. That's why marriage does not make you a better person. Let me tell you something. If you are the kind of sister, if you are the kind of other brother or sister, if you don't treat your relatives right, you don't treat your friends right, you don't treat your colleagues right, when you are married, you won't treat them right. That, see, don't. I say, I will love my husband. I will treat my husband. It's a lie. It's your nature. Forget in-laws. In-laws care. Somebody told me one time, he said, every woman has a tendency to abuse not just their spouse, but their in-laws. I said, what kind of an environment did you grow up from? He said, all his life, that is all he has always seen. I said, that means you are raised up wrong. Where I grew up from, I've never seen that. But when you now begin to see certain things, among people that claim to be believers, then something is wrong somewhere. You might actually be raised right, but you purposely by yourself decided to unraise yourself, and it shows that you're not converted yet. Because when you are born, when you have this faith we're talking about, this revelation of who you are and who others are, you will treat them right. You love the Lord this evening? How many of you are still happy with me? Hey, you will treat your brothers in church and your sisters right. You won't look at your sister and say, that sister, it'd be like, say, this sister and a witch. It's because you yourself, you are not converted. Don't tell me nothing. See, God does not give such revelations. I've not seen in the Bible where Jesus called somebody a witch, or where the prophet called somebody by revelation said, this person is a witch. I've not seen it. If you could see truly that this person is a witch, deliver that person. If you can't do it, keep quiet. You say, I saw the person in my dream, always chasing me. Is Satan manipulating you? I tell you, is Satan manipulating you? I've told you here before. When we were at the other church, I've seen my dad before in my dream chasing me with a cutlass. I said that story before. I think I've said it here before. He was chasing me in my dream with a cutlass. Imagine. Even when I woke up, me myself, I just laughed. I said, this world is too much now. You think I'm going to fall? I said, I can't fall. Myself and my dad, we had a sharp disagreement during that period. So he wanted to capitalize on it. I said, this one, it won't work. I said, because that man, no. Me, I know that man. I grew up in his roof. I know that that man is a child of God. We might disagree. He doesn't hate me. Neither will he chase me with a cutlass. I never had that dream since then. Thank you, sir. But if it was some of you, you say, hey! I've been saying it. This man is the one doing me. You now be looking for a prophet that will help you. They will tell you it's God that just, he said, God has also shown you your enemy. They tell you household enemies. And you say, what shall I do? They begin to start giving you ungodly fast to fast. Then you now see more ungodly. Oh God. May God be merciful to us. But when you have this faith that we are talking about, this faith that overcomes the world, where he said, whatsoever, he didn't even say whosoever is born of God. He said, whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. Listen, friends. That is why Abraham said, he was talking, when he was preaching in this sermon, he said, he was talking about that bomb that came to his house that asked for a sandwich. Abraham said, I looked at him, he said, this man looks very hungry. Say, let me fix him a proper meal. And that's how a Christian is supposed to do. No matter how bad the world has become, let me tell you something, still do good. Some of us, if a beggar come to beg you for money now, you say, I can't give you money. I don't know what you're going to use that money for. Before they go and use it for something that will not bring problem to me. You're a peculiar person. Let me tell you something, you are untouchable. What did I say? You are untouchable. See, Satan can't. Problem said, when you become a Christian, you are out of the radar of Satan. He said, he can't get to you. He said, we are dead in Christ and our life is what? Hidden in him. When God hid something, who will find it? But Abraham said, for Satan to find you, he needs to come the way that you have come. That is to say, he must hear the gospel, which is even hearing right now, and he will repent. Can Satan repent? He will repent and be baptized. He will submit himself for baptism. We will baptize him. In the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of his sins. Then he will receive the Holy Ghost. It is when he has received the Holy Ghost, then he cannot come and have fellowship with you. That is when he can have access to you. But Bible said, by then, he's no longer Lucifer. He's no longer Satan. He's now what? He's now a brother. And when he becomes a brother, he can't hurt you. If you are still, he can't persecute you. Listen, Bible said, elect cannot persecute an elect. See, people used to say that every new year. It's a new year. Be a new person. You can't be a new. You're old. Until Christ coming, you will still remain the old person. We need to start taking evaluation of our lives. See, we are getting closer. We are closer to the coming of Christ more than ever before. Things are happening at a very, very fast rate. We can't afford to continue the way we've been continuing before. The things we used to do before, we need to stop them. Habits, attitude, all these bickerings. He pinched me, he bite me, he talked this about me. It's entire time we stop them. They are too much baggage. We can't afford to carry them. We can't even carry you. It will make you heartbound. But when you have this faith, amen, this faith will overcome every troubles of life. It will overcome every bad habit. It will overcome bitterness. It will overcome hatred. You will love everybody. You will love your brother regardless. See, we will step on each other's toes. That is true. Yes. We will step on. Jesus, the gospel make room for it. He said, if your brother offends you 7 times, forgive him how many times? Oh God. Thank you. In a day, in one day. And it's not possible for somebody to even offend you to that level. That means that person will always have a carryover of forgiveness. 70 times 7. No, 70 times 7 times. Yes, 490. In a day. So, assuming that he has used up 20 today, carry over the balance, 470 over to the next day for him. Add it to the other one. So, in a lifetime, that person can never exhaust it. Arm yourself with forgiveness before unfairness comes. People will step on you. People that you think you like very well, your wife will step on your toes sometimes. Your husband will step on your toes. Sometimes your children will step on your toes. Do you, because of that, drive them out of the house? Say, me and you, we'll be mates. If not for message. Me and you. Who is this person? You are not converted yet. You realize that without God, we are nothing. But Abraham said, if God will remove his grace from us for one moment, for just one moment, when God removes all grace from Nebuchadnezzar, he became a beast. Anything you are by the grace of God. Oh. You say, oh, I'm a good Christian, I'm a fervent Christian. It is the grace of God. If there is a brother or a sister who have not had that grace yet, let's bear with them. Let's pray for them. Let's encourage them. Let's lift them by the hand and take them along. Not cast them down. Not talk evil about them. Some of us, our minds are still very, very negative. Very negative. You see everything in bad light. You know, when the preacher was preaching on Sunday, when he said somebody wants to give their number, he said, oh, you want calling? They are here to show themselves. You know, in my mind, I was like, I don't think this kind of thing can be happening now. But you can never tell. I've come to realize that anything that the Spirit of God says behind the pulpit, don't say it's not happening. It's happening. If it's not happening, God will not pick it up. Some of us will sit in the seat of the scornful. See how he's singing that song, Seth. He didn't leave that key very well. If I was the one, if you are the one, come and sing. Come and sing. You won't sing. You won't do. You won't rise. You won't start. You won't do nothing. But the people that will do it, you are the one that will criticize. We need help. Faith is our victory against such contradictions. The purpose of which God raised you is far higher than that. Far higher than that. Far higher than that. And you know, we can never tell when God is going to call any of us home. You say, oh, Brandon, don't talk about that. The earlier we start telling ourselves the truth, the realities of our times, the better. You know, 2020 was quite a shocking one for me. Because some of the things I thought, I never thought it would happen, it happened. When Miriam passed, for a long time, I couldn't believe that it happened. I said, no, it can't. It was easier for me to believe that my mother passed away than for me to believe that Miriam passed away. I was in shock. For a long time, I would just sit down and I would just be looking. I'm like, no, it can't be. Because I looked at some of those guys and I said, we are going to live for a long time. I remember when he clocked 40. I said, you are 40 now. The next, you are looking at 50. He said, my brother, he said, God will help us. February this year, we were still talking about something. And I was like, somebody else told me that he's passed away. I said, no. I think it was Bro Fletcher that even told me. Yeah. I woke up that morning, I checked my phone. I said, no, it can't be. I said, no, it can't be. But it happened. Because his part in the drama has ended. We don't know. Let's appreciate each other while we are here. No, that's the truth. Let's appreciate each other very well. Forget about, I'm sure that for every one of us, people, everybody here, or people even in your neighbors, I'm sure they've done more good to you than evil that you think they've done to you. Isn't it? So why not let us be talking regularly about those good things that they've done to us? And talk, keep quiet, let's be mute about the other things that we don't feel comfortable about. It will make life a better place for us. Don't you think so? Remember that song that says, we are the people of God? He said, we are the people of God. We came from God. Going back to God. So then what? We are not complaining and murmuring going to back to God, though, or abusing each other and having carrying each other in our hearts. It's all right. That's why oftentimes prayers are not answered. Remember, I'm talking about the power of the church. He said, if two of you shall agree as touching anything. See, friends, we can gather here, two people can hold themselves, or three people can hold them, and we actually pray a prayer of agreement, and God will honor it. He said, because whatsoever you bind on earth shall be what? Bound in heaven, and whatsoever you lose on earth shall be loose. Those scriptures are still real. But when somebody comes and raises a request and say, brother, brethren, pray for me, I have an interview tomorrow. And you look at it and say, ah, this brother get that job, man. I mean, it's going to be better than me. Even when you are praying, even if you manage to pray, even if you are the one that is called to come and pray the final prayer, your heart is not agreeing with that prayer. That you are already the weak link in that team. But when we all agree, when we all have one mind, and God sees that there is actually unity in our hearts, there is nothing we ask for that will not be done. If the unity in Babel, God could see it. And God will say, ah, these people are actually, they are of one heart, one language, one tongue. And God said, hey, if we don't do something, they will achieve what they set their mind to do. And the world called that unity a false unity. And yet, it was a unity that was about to bring to pass that which God knew that if they continue with it, they will achieve it. And they will have achieved it. But for you to know, God did not destroy their works. Because that is very unlike God. He only destroyed the unity. Same thing that Satan also uses. He knows that together we are very strong. As a family, we are very strong. As a church, as a body of believers, we are very strong. And he knows that the only way he can affect us from moving ahead is to what? Attack our unity. We are hearing on Sunday how the leaves, which the world calls unity, when Abraham was preaching the resurrection of the bite tree, he was talking about, I think it was the palmer worm, he said, is the most deadly. He said, because that one attacked the leaves. Is it locust? Yeah, locust. He said, he attacked the leaves. And once he attacked the leaves, you can't feed again. No more fellowship. That person is dead. That connection to the source of life is cut off. Don't allow anything to alter your fellowship. Don't allow anything to alter your fellowship in your family, your fellowship with your spouse, with your children. Don't be too strict on your children. I'm not saying don't be strict, but for some parents, I've seen, when children are coming, they begin to run under the, they are like bulls, they are like tiger. That is not a family. Why would he run under the bed? Yeah, yo, Baba eating bao. Everybody start disappearing. Because a terror is coming. We are not terrors. We are sons of God. We are fathers in Christ. Mothers in Christ. Redeemed of the Lord. We have been born of God. May God be our help. You love the Lord tonight? Let me just read something before we close. Just one thing. Okay, no, I think it's going to be two. So that I'll make it a background to the other one. But Abraham was saying here, he was talking about Abraham. He said, and as I said last night, go beyond the sand barriers. He said, then you will have a purpose in life. You will have a purpose in belonging to the church. You will have a purpose in being baptized. You will have a purpose in what you are seeking for. Because we know that God is honest and God is true and God cannot lie. And he said, and if God placed that into Abraham's heart by his voice, his word, he said, then God has placed in before us in his Bible by the witness of the Holy Spirit, by the returning of the Holy Spirit in signs and wonders, that Jesus Christ still lives and is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said, then why would we seek any longer after those things that we desire? Now, listen to this. And if you need any need whatsoever that God has promised in his Bible, is here tonight to meet that need. No need seeking Father. His presence is here. His spirit is here. And he is willing and ready and longing to give to you that you, he said, what you are so seeking for. Why would you wait any longer? When you come to him, don't come as a floater. He said, oh, I will go up and try and see if it works. Then it won't work. Go there with confidence, knowing that it will work. Knowing that what? See, there are some things that you should have settled in your mind now that will never happen. Level that you know that no matter how it, this one, it will never happen. I know that this one, it will certainly happen. Are you following? Any promise that God has made to you, I mean, it has been revealed to you. Listen, the only lie is that that promise will not come to pass. I don't know whether I get it. If you are trusting God for children, for example, that's the example I want to use now. The only lie is that you won't have those children. A woman that God has revealed it unto, that she's going to have her children, and doctor says they are going to cut off her two breasts because of a problem, and it has been revealed to her that she will have her children. How is she going to breastfeed those children? So automatically she will know in the deep sense of her, whatever is going to cause God to return her back to normalcy, God will do it. Did you get that? Did you get that? So it applies to every situation in our lives, every situation without exception. Every word without an exception. I told a sister one day, some years ago, he said, Brother Joe, help me pray for my son. Pray for my son. This is why I said, we are praying. No. One day she called me, I told her, we were talking. I said, see, after we finished praying, I said, you know what can happen? I said, you may get home now and meet your son drunk to stupor. I said, do you know what Satan is going to tell you? That prayer that we have prayed is not effective. That you have just gone to what? Waste your time. I said, never believe it. I said, let it be revealed to you right now and here that your son is saved. Any other thing that comes in between, it doesn't matter. As if I was prophesying. She got home. She met the boy with a heavy load of what's it called that the boy has wrapped, smoking in one corner of the house. She now said, say at first she felt bad. Said, but later she went, this man has said something close to this. Said, just breathe. I said, she went to meet the boy. Said, boy, let me tell you something. Whether you like it or not, you will serve my God. When God was going to touch that boy, nobody preached to him. Fiak. He said he was just thinking when they said something to him, he said it was as if he was dying. He said something to him, he said, you are about to die. And he was smoking. He said, I can die. He said, and everything that was around him feel as if he was about to die. He said, God, where is daddy? Where is mommy? He said he needed somebody to just pray for him at that particular time. Then his mother, somebody that hasn't been in church for months, his mother just walked in. I said, what's wrong with you? He said, mommy, I'm feeling feverish. He said, let's go to the hospital. He said, no, just pray for me. Just pray for me. He said, this is my office, mother. Just pray for me. And it was service day. They prayed for him. He said, mommy, let's go to church. He said, go to where? Church. He said, mommy, let's go to church. He went to church. Went to me. He said, pastor, pray for me. I'm dying. And that was the end of that boy's problem. So no matter what comes in between, it does not matter. What matters is what God has said. So don't just say, oh, I will go and give it a trial. Peradventure God will answer. Well, if he answers, fine. If he doesn't answer, you will not get nothing. You must come in confidence, knowing that after we have prayed, amen, that thing that you have prayed concerning, it has happened already. Let me read one more thing now. This is actually what I want to read. Listen to this one. Abraham in Patmos vision said something. Okay, let's start from here. Abraham said, no human being could stand the full effect of that vision. His strength had utterly gone. John fell at his feet as though dead. But the hand of the Lord in love touched him, and the voice of blessing said, fear not. Don't be afraid. I pray that you heard that voice of blessing tonight. I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. What is there to fear? The judgment that fell upon him at the cross, at the grave, and when it descended was for us. He absorbed the full brunt of the wound of sin, and there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. You see, for a surety, our attorney is our judge. He's both attorney and judge. As judge, the case is settled. There is no doubt about it. See, when you have a problem in life, you have come, it's like you have come, what has happened is God's word has been brought to judgment. Remember the sermon that prophet bring the trial? I think we've talked about that several times here. Those three witnesses of Satan will come and testify. They will always come. Mr. Impatient, Mr. Skeptic, and Mr. I've mentioned Impatient. Or Mr. Unbeliever. The three of them will come and do what? And because they must make a case against God. They will tell you somebody, we know somebody that had this problem. He died. We know somebody that got this problem. He couldn't pay his debts. We know somebody that had the problem. He was rusted from school. You will hear all sorts because why? They must testify. But let me tell you something. Let the word of God also testify. Let the Holy Spirit also testify. Let Noah testify. Let Abraham testify. Let Noah testify. He said, we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. And this witness, their witnesses are true. Their witnesses are real. And their witness is eternal. That God saves. That God heals. That God delivers. That God provides. That God rescues. That God can still heal cancer. That God can heal COVID. God heals COVID. I said God heals COVID. Hey. If you ever go for a test and they say you have COVID, just laugh at it. Because the target of Satan is your mind. If you ever defeated in your mind, you have lost the battle. Laugh at it and say, I don't have it. Bravi said this evening that he has had COVID before. You talk Amabi. And I believed him. Because everything he said about COVID, I know it's true. But he survived. And he's standing here. I have had COVID before. You are shocked. I said, I have had COVID before. And we survived. That was why you couldn't come inside that day. And we did what? We did what? It's not a death sentence. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in COVID. Listen. Let's continue. Is our what? He's both our attorney and judge. As the judge, the case is what? Is what? It's a settled case. Your salvation is a settled matter. Your rapture is settled. Your health is settled. Your finances are settled. It is a settled case. He said, it is finished. There is now therefore no condemnation. Why should the church fear? What promise has he ever failed to manifest before us? Has he healed before us? Has he provided before? Has he saved before? There are people that have been at the point of death before we prayed for them and they survived. What is it that God cannot still do? I challenge your faith tonight. It's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he did it one time, he can do it over and over and over again. What do you have to fear? What promise has he failed to manifest before us? Why should he, why should he fear punishment or death? We fear no foe. We fear nothing. It has all been overcome. I beg this up. It has all been what? Overcome. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus said, be of good cheer. I have what? I have what? He said, therefore, I give you power. Hey, I give you what? Say, I have power. Over Satan. Over demons. Over principalities. Over powers. Over sickness. Over sin. He said, so that nothing by any means shall do what? I don't care what is hurting you tonight. By the power in the name of Jesus, the bounds are loose in your life. Here is the mighty conqueror. He's the mighty conqueror. The what? Mighty. He still remained the mighty conqueror. The Israelites, one day they looked in their camp, they couldn't see a champion. They thought Saul was a champion. Because why? He was head and shoulder above everybody. And they thought they were servants to Saul. That was their revelation. Thank you, sir. So their victory, their own victory, is in sword and staves and the height of Saul. But that's not our own victory. Our own victory is greater than guns. It's greater than bombs. That's what the prophet said. Before one bomb will drop, we are gone. It won't meet us here. It won't meet me here. And I believe it won't meet you here. Hallelujah. Our own victory is greater than vaccine. Oh, glory. He's a mighty conqueror. When Goliath also saw them as servants to Saul, he said, are you not servants to Saul? But when David came, a man that has been revealed to who he is and who the people of God are. When you have the right discernment about yourself, automatically you have the right discernment about your brethren. When David came, he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistines that what? That defies the what? Armies of Saul. Armies of Saul. Armies of the living God. And tonight we still the armies of the living God. Every Goliath must be put under, because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. There is no Goliath that will stand before the church of God, because God has given us power over them. Hallelujah. God will have the final say regardless. Here is the mighty conqueror. Is the one who conquered both worlds of the sin and on. Sin and on. Oftentimes we are so used to the word of the sin. But at the unseen, things happen there. But God has conquered everything in the sin and the unseen. So if Satan is hiding behind us, plotting evil, God is there to truncate his effort. After all, Mordecai was not there when they were scheming against him. Was he there? But somebody was there. God was there. I said God was there. Oh, hallelujah. Because God was there, he made them to give him suggestion. He said, wake up early in the morning. Go to the king and go and ask. Let a gallows be erected. They were erecting gallows for Mordecai. He didn't know that gallows, he himself would be hanged there. He said, wake up early in the morning. Let it be the first thing you're going to do in the morning. Go and ask for his head from the king. and the king that couldn't sleep. Why? Because Mordecai had this faith that is our victory. And he has a covenant working for him. He said, your seed shall do what? Shall do what? Let cancer be the gate. Let COVID be the gate. Let sin and bad habit be the gate. Let poverty be the gate. We will possess every gate of the enemy. When he got there, his steps were being ordered by God. At that time, the king could not sleep. And they have just finished briefing him about Mordecai. He said, what was done unto that man? They said, nothing. They said, who is there in the court? Who is there in the court? It's Haman the Agagite. He'll say, that's very good. Haman, what shall be done unto that man that the king delight to honor? And God was still there. I said, God was still there. He said, who else would the king delight to honor? It has to be me. Okay. Let me ask for the king's royal slippers. King's royal robe. King's royal horse. Let the most honorable man, the most honorable man in the kingdom, let him go before. And say, this is what shall be done. To whom that the king delights to honor. And the king opened up his mouth. I said, everything you said, let nothing fail. Let it be done unto Mordecai, the Jew. Because why? Faith was his victory. Mordecai knew who he was. He knew he was a seed of Abraham. And we don't bow before any opposition. He said, I won't bow. You can't intimidate me. Sin will not intimidate me. I will not bow. Sickness will not intimidate me. I won't bow. Bad habits will not intimidate me. Fashions of the world will not make me bow. Hallelujah. Here is the mighty conqueror. Seen and unseen, God is there. No, he will not conquer. He has already. Here is the one who conquered both the worlds of the seen and unseen. Not like Alexander. Not like Napoleon. Not like Stalin. Not like Hitler. They don't even know where Hitler is. Who conquered the world at the age of 33 and knew no other way to turn toe for further conquest? He was tired. No other. So is that nothing else to conquer? Nothing. And he became frustrated. So he died a victim of sin and riotous living. Can you see that? May God be our help. Not like Napoleon, who conquered all Europe, but finally was defeated at Waterloo and banished to Elba. Not only to find himself conquered, but nothing could conquer Christ. Nothing could do what? Ye are of God, little children, and I have overcome them, because greater is he that is in me, that is he that is in the world. If Christ is in me, nothing will conquer me. I ask you tonight, what thing you carry? What thing you carry? If Christ is in you, sickness cannot conquer you. Death cannot conquer you. Barrenness will not conquer you. Poverty will not conquer you. Bad habits will not conquer you. Nothing could do what? These are unfailing words of Christ. Nothing can conquer Christ. I like this. He that descended has now ascended above all. And to him has been given a name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should do what? Yes. The name of the above every knee. Yes. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. That is why you can't see. Satan cannot even take you away from here without God's approval. It's not even Satan that is taking you. It's death. Death is a transport. It's a transport that God has sent. He said, okay, it's time for him to go. Oh yeah. And he can't move until God ordained it. Do not even the sinner, death can't kill the sinner until God allows it. Because the keys of death and hell has been taken away from Satan. He can't determine who is to go and when to go. Only God is the determinant. Let us give you confidence. Hallelujah. And the grave, and as the keys thereof, what he loses. What he loses is what? If therefore the Son has made you free. Hallelujah. If he has made you free, you are free indeed. What he loses is loose, and what he binds is bound. There is no changing of it. There was no conqueror before him, and there is none beside him. That is why your problem will not kill you. He can't endure. It's not because he doesn't have eternal life. Oh, glory. There is no changing of him. There was no conqueror before him, and there is none beside him. He alone is the Savior, Redeemer. He is the only God, and Lord Jesus Christ is his name. Next one. We've not finished. Don't fear John. Don't fear little flock. Shall I begin to call your names? We are too many. In Nigeria, I will call their name one by one because I will. But put your name there. Don't fear. Mention your name. Don't fear. Don't fear, little flock. All that I am. You are what? You are what? You will be? You are right now. You are heir to. All my power is yours. He wasn't speaking out of excitement. Amen? He was not overexcited and just promising anyhow. He meant what he said. All that I am, you are heir to. All my power is yours. My omnipotence is yours as I stand in your midst. Is right now in our midst. His omnipotence is ours. Only open your mouth and believe and speak. He said, only believe, all things are possible. I have not come to bring fear and failure. He has not come to do what? I have not come to bring fear and failure, but love and courage and what? I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I have the ability. Christ has given me the ability to live above sin, to live above bad habits, above the reproach of this generation. He has given me the ability. I have the ability to do the unthinkable. Hallelujah. All power is given unto me, and it is yours. Is it God? Yours to use. It's not God to use, it's yours to use. You speak the word. This is where we are coming to. You do what? This is the instruction. You speak the word, and I will do what? And I will do what? Those of you listening on the tapes, you will do what? You speak the word, and I will perform it. That is my covenant. Listen. That is my what? And it can never fail. Every covenant that God has ever made, he has never reneged on anyone. God is a covenant keeping God, and he will keep this covenant. What is the terms of this covenant? You speak the word. That is the time of this covenant. All you need to do is what? Speak it. And when you speak it, his own duty is to perform. Speak and I will perform. That is my covenant, and it will never fail. And tonight, it will fail. God bless you.